Thank you. You can't do it in time, therefore, I must say that the purpose of the spiritual dimension basically is to give you an overview of the performance of the agency during the year under review, which is 2009-10. So the long awaited annual report that we have presented today. My presentation is going to be quite quick. However, I will try and explain some of the critical issues at the College of the Mission So I will just focus more on the achievements against the 2009-10 fellowship, and then we will also give a picture of the expenditure against budget, and then highlight some of the challenges and what you take in. Especially the presentation is going to be very, very honest. It's basically taking stock of where FAFSA is since its establishment in 2006. But also highlighting that the journey is still long, but it still needs to highlight. Now, I will just summarize just to say, FAFSA was established as a CAE public agency in was operationalized in April 2006. Now, if you recall, the rationale for this establishment was largely focused on three main areas. There were significant challenges on the administration of social assistance by the provincial government. Now, part of the key priority was then to standardize and show uniformity in the provision of social assistance to support social assistance. The other area of focus, of course, was to ensure efficiency in terms of the reduction of the cost of administration of social assistance, and also lastly, to look at the strategy to reduce fraud that is endemic in the particular program. So, in the first 5 years of the system, FAFSA has been focusing more on the establishment of both of its head offices as well as regional offices to ensure that the necessary processes are in place while at the same time ensuring that the ongoing service provision is not hindered. So to speak, the car has been it is moving. Now, what also compounded the challenges was that in that same period, there were policy changes as well as legislative amendments that ensures that social assistance care the program is expanded to cover some of the purposes that are currently outside the social safety net. One example is the extension of the child support grant. As we all know that there has been 10 increases from 7-year-olds now who have started addressing for this 18-year children who must be taken to social assistance. This has significantly pushed the number in the system from about 3 million beneficiaries in the FAFSA over in 2006. Now we just about 14 million beneficiaries in the system, of which more than 8 million relates to children. While that is happening, also we must note that there is ongoing interaction with beneficiaries for various other services, including reviews, including applications, which take about 4.6 million transactions per annum. So, some of the, I just highlighted some of the things that FAFSA, or some of the challenges that FAFSA has to deal with, were pushed by marginal growth in the number of beneficiaries, as I indicated, and also the fact that, besides the fact that now we are 40 million beneficiaries, FAFSA has, in the last 5 years, continued to operate on manual systems, whether it's on the grant application from end to end of the business, from application to approval, as well as behind the scenes services, between the regulatory management, all those systems are still operated on manual basis. We will start to the community to plan to rectify and do which has done. There also has been investment in system infrastructure. However, this has not been to the expectation because of budgetary constraints. We have managed that, for example, the Central Treasury for us to roll out the national information system, which we now have rolled out all the registers, I mean, the registry modules in online policies. However, there are other versions of the MIS that are still being implemented, mainly the workflow module. It is not improving the number of social assistance beneficiaries. Have also had a quite an impact on the challenges that SAFA is currently having. Now let's move on from challenges, because we will come back later and deal with where we are and what SAFA has done in dealing with that challenge. This slide just shows its demands, that SAFA derives from the constitution, the social assistance, and the social I think the objectives of policy legislation are very quite clear. Interestingly, the Constitution also emphasizes that everyone has the right to have access to social security. And therefore, SAFA has an obligation to ensure that those who are unable to support themselves will be able to get the social assistance benefits. The Social Assistance Act also goes further to outline who qualifies, and one of the critical and most important things to note is that these benefits are immune tested, and therefore, SAFA has to put a system in place to ensure that we screen the beneficiaries to ensure that they qualify for benefits. And the Social Assistance Act clearly puts certain processes and procedures in place to ensure that this happens. Now, if you look at the vision for SAFA, our vision is a comprehensive social security services that assist people in being self-sufficient and supporting goals and needs. Obviously, SAFA contributes to this vision of government. It cannot on its own achieve everything when it comes to assisting communities to be self-sufficient. But the social grant program is one of the major poverty alleviation instruments that government currently has, which ensures that the poorest of the poor are affected by government. Therefore, our mission is also to manage quality social security services for eligible and potential beneficiaries effectively and efficiently. We will then take stock of where things are. We do believe that in the first 5 years, we have demonstrated that there is a huge challenge in front of us, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, if you look at the strategic priorities of SAFA, these three focus areas are quite important to note. The first one being customer care center benefits administration and management system, which really puts the beneficiaries at the center of our work. The second one is the improved organizational capacity. Obviously, there are certain things that must be in place to ensure a high performance institution. The focus is more on human capacity, financial capacity, as well as IT systems. The third one is comprehensive and integrated social security administration and management services. Again, this looks into SAFA focusing on a range of services, stakeholder engagement, and ensuring that our systems are in fact in good condition. If you look at priority one on the customer care center benefit administration and management, this is an area where the core business lies. We're looking at over 8 million participants, including over 14 million social assistance benefits, which basically means we have over 8 million grants recipients who are receiving 14 million benefits. In this instance, you find that one person could receive more than one grant, especially for the recipients who children who can get your food and food. for those two children. So that's why we emphasize that. So 10 million are child support grants. Beneficiary 2.5 million older persons, and 1.3 are people with disabilities. These are the three main categories of our grant. We do have smaller grants in the area of foster care, but I think foster care and child support are included in that 10 million. The number of people receiving grants increased, as I indicated, from about 30 million last financial year, which is 2008-09. We got about 14 million in the 2009-10, which is the current year under the report, which represented a growth of about 7.5%. Now, if you look at the grant uptake for financial year 2007-2008-09, you will see a steady increase, quite a significant increase on the grant types, except for two grants, which is disability and the war veterans. From 8.9 to 9.10, we had 1.7% reduction in disability. And this is largely, again, if you look at the question that came last time we were here with the department, the reviews that we're currently undertaking, which ensures that we look at the qualification and reassessment for medical benefits. We pick up a number of beneficiaries that were terminated for the normal qualified. Some of these involve your temporary disability grant. Now, this has a significant implication on the budget itself, because we have infrastructure overhead that has been appropriated even AGF in raising. But we are not doing a review. And by law, on a regular basis, there should be a review of various grant types. For example, after the last of the year, we must review. It's a massive task because we're talking millions of beneficiaries that need to be reviewed. But it helps to pick up those who no longer qualify. But not only that, but it also helps to pick up short-term grants that are in the system, which we then remove from the system. Remember, we recall that there are two grant types where fraud is prevalent. That is disability as well as child support. So the war veteran obviously is also reducing because it's the nature of that grant is those people who fought in those wars who are through natural attraction removed from the system because they do pass on. I think the significant increase that we see is on the child support grant, which is largely driven by the extension to 18 years. In the year under review, we were 416 years old. Then, when you look at the new policy reforms that have an impact on BAFTA, the target was 100% that all men aged 50 to 162 will be taken on the system by end of March. In total, 110 men in each group are now receiving older persons grants. In 2010-2011, then that's when we actually reached 50-year-old, so this was 21. This represents 7.4% of the target of 189 for the year under review. So we have to put more effort to ensure that we still get those remaining men who are in the current financial year to also get into the system. One of the challenges we've been raising is that which hampers some of the targets. The achievement of the target for the sector. Every year there have been policy changes. We have been arguing sharply that we should be getting an equivalent allocation of administration budgets so that we can set up necessary processes to reach to those beneficiaries. The reality of the matter is that this has been present. It's only now that we are projecting savings through initiatives that that we will be able to roll out some of these interventions. for instance, the ITOP program has shown that we actually assist us in getting to those communities who are unable to reach our offices by going into them with our mobile offices, or what we normally call mobile chat. It helps a lot because those people, we find that in most cases, they don't even get money for transport to take their ride to near a town to go to our offices. Now, the gradual expansion of CSG also has an impact. In terms of the achievements, we had a total of 673,000 children over the age of 14 that are in the state of CSG. This equates to 69.4% of the target of 900,000 women. Now, one of the main reasons for not achieving the target in this area is that the target was set for the full financial year started from April. However, as we know, the announcement and the allocation of budget by February only came in October, which was the time that has been implementing the change. So that is why we have not reached the target there. The disability management model, you will recall, members, that we also had a serious problem with the issue of assessment for disability grants. PAPA also inherited different systems from different regions and provinces. So there was an effort to come up with a common disability management model for PAPA, and then this model was implemented in this region that is targeted in that financial year. We implemented this ensured that we implement the gatekeeping process, medical assessment and medical form models, which is what is a social policy for the agency. We'll get into detail in that later. And then this is temporary disability grant application. The consequences are implemented in 3 months with the period before the application. And in order to minimize fraud through the processing of the disability grant, the agency introduced medical assessment forms with serial numbers. So there was a concerted effort to look into how we overhaul the way in which we assess the disability. Because it's an area that was a serious concern, because people who are unable to have a living, they see this as a way of getting into the social grant if they are not in age 50 years of age. The other initiative or innovation that PAPA came out with was the improved grant payment system. Now, this is a process that is still unfolding. We recall that PAPA, when it inherited the system, social grants were paid largely in cash. We had trusts that go to pay for us to pay our beneficiaries. Now we're looking at modernizing the payment, because we now have infrastructure, including the banking infrastructure and other alternative electronic payment mechanisms that we should be exploring in order to ensure that we improve efficiency and also other concomitant advantages like the safety issues, etc., when we pay our beneficiaries. Now, PAPA undertook a project where it was to encourage beneficiaries to utilize these available alternative payment channels, especially the banking arrangements, what we refer to in this document as ATP. ATP basically relates to people who are receiving their payments through banks. Now, 23.4% reduction in cash payments due to this initiative, which means 6.3 million beneficiaries that are paid in cash reduced to 4.8 million. Now, this has got quite a significant actual improvement in the cash flow that we, or cash outflow in terms of the handling fee that we pay to cash payment contractors. The cash payment contractors are those companies that are going there to pay our beneficiaries the pay point. We've been trying to deal with this challenge, because we inherited a system where we were charged quite significantly high amounts for distributed cash. The average at the time was about 35 grand per transaction. So over the last year, we are also in our approach trying to renegotiate those fees down so that we can save some money in that area. While we at the same time, we've been trying to encourage people to go to the banking arrangement. The agency is also working on a long-term strategy to improve the payment system in this regard. Now, the long-term system relates to the new payment model that we would like PAPA to implement in the next 3 to 5 years. It basically switches to alternative payment methods other than current cash. We do recognize that there will still be a small number of people that will still rely on the cash program. So the new model will be multi-pronged in terms of it will also address those who will be paid electronically and those who will be paid in cash. The other area which I must emphasize, PAPA has started to embark on is the issue of automation of reporting systems. When I indicated earlier on that PAPA spent the first 4 years, it was only last year that we started taking the automated processes. PAPA has been really focusing on establishing itself, getting the right staff and the right people in place. Now, the reality is that you cannot run a business of this nature on manual systems. That is the reality that we have to understand. Now, the core business automation cuts across the business processes, firstly the application after approval, and then as I just indicated in the previous slide, the payment model. So, we'll use the business processes in terms of grant application as well as the grant payment. Now, the pilots that we had in the system in rolling out IGAP simply means improved grant application process. Now, we are basically putting management information system, automating the application processes so that we can achieve efficiency in the application process, but also we have controls that we can build into the system so that we ensure efficiency. There is going to be additional work to be done here when we roll out other solutions which will deal basically now with cutting down on fraud, which is that the solution that we also include the electronic identification of beneficiaries. We also conducted the readiness assessment in all regions for the rolling out of the IGAP, and we are happy to say that most of the regions are now ready to roll out IGAP, but we targeted 3 states in the year under review as a pilot in just one local office. Now, in the 2010-11 financial year, our plan was to roll out throughout all the 3 state regions, the IGAP. Then, in the coming financial year going forward, we would like to roll out IGAP throughout the country. It has proved to us to be a very efficient system. We have got several nodes. The treasury has been allocated some certain amount of budget in the next financial year. In fact, let me say, over the NTA, for us to be able to roll out the automation system. But our IT manager is saying we will be able to do some investment in the case around the same. We also introduced into the access to software so as to minimize fraud. As I said, this is just the beginning. There is quite a lot of work to be done in order to ensure that the new systems are built around software to restrict fraud. That will also relate to your interfaces with other databases like population registers and so on. But again, I think we invest more to detail the quality of the implementation of the MIS registry in all the regions has now been done. We just want to get 2 regions that were not on the national platform to be on the national platform as well, which is the same thing as the state in terms of the registry and the standardized application and review processes that have been done, and also the completed rolling out IPEX. Complete rollout of IPEX has not been achieved due to budget constraints. That is why I say only now that Cesar is allocated that about $500 million for us to roll out IPEX and other automated systems throughout the other region. Then there is also another interesting development. We've implemented the enterprise cost management. I'm asking you to remember the ERP is not a very simple project to roll out. This is the system that really deals with financial management, human resource management, and such related operational management. This replaces the systems of governance, which is your BAC, your CEPAL, and your MOSIA. Now, what happened in this year under the group? This is one of the main reasons why the annual report certainly was late. This is also the main reason why we got a disclaimer from the OSHA chairman. I think we're going to go to the serious detail in the next year. We rolled out the system at the same time when the reporting standards were changing from cash basis of accounting to accrual basis. This is the system that is important, that is helped FAFA as a public entity to be able to report on the accrual basis of accounting. Simple distinction between accrual and cash basis is that cash recognizes the expenditure as you pay out the money, but accrual accounting mainly recognizes the expenditure at the date of the transaction, which basically is a totally different way of doing business in government. We have been in touch with Treasury around this particular project. We worked together. In fact, when I joined FAFA, there was already a team between FAFA, yes, and Treasury looking at the role of the system. My take was that the readiness at the time was not yet there. We needed more time to actually ensure the proper planning for rolling out this ERP. However, Treasury's view was that we need to test it because this is actually in line with the accrual accounting that government wants to roll out with all other departments. However, there have been issues that necessitated further extension of delays between government and Treasury in order to ensure that all the departments are ready for this. Now, FAFA was more of a test case, say, rolling out, we will see what happens, because we are taking 9 provincial departments, putting into one, and rolling out this new system. However, the achievement, in my own view, as I look at it, a lot of work was done to ensure that every FAFA is able to have a running system test and also a reporting system. This is an area which the CFO is going to touch base on in terms of what measures they can put in place to correct it. The biggest challenge here was the readiness of all the modules to run in the year that we are reporting in. Some of the modules were actually implemented towards the end of the financial year, and I think one of those modules was implemented after the financial year, which caused the issues with the OSHA General, because some of those balances that were reported could not then be reconciled. But the CFO will come up with a more detail in terms of where we are with the ERP. But I think it was an eye-opening exercise. I think it was a big, bold step that government took to ensure FAFA is running on a two-hour basis of accounting. It could have been worse, but I think the effort that we put in place by the tax team ensured that we finally got financial reports and then the system that is functional. We also developed an ICT service like infrastructure network to support dialogue and social and payment processes. Obviously, this is now the wiring of various service calls and offices, and also, as I indicated, some of the new developments around the software and system. But we are going to need more investment in ICT in order to ensure better services to our beneficiaries. On the beneficiary maintenance side, we can report that 97.9% of beneficiaries were notified of administrative action. prior to that notifying, basically this is in the legal requirement that you have notified the beneficiary that they must come and review their grant so that we can review their paper, whether medical benefits or child support or social program. Last thing of those beneficiaries then will then be done after 6 months if there has been no response or the response was there and then the assessment proved that the beneficiary no longer qualified. What we then specify and emphasize here is that we decided to centralize the reduction of beneficiaries, which means it's very much more efficient. Some of these include those beneficiaries that were reported to us by the FIU as being fraudulent beneficiaries, which we have to last to. We also ran ICRO programs, as I indicated, which is the Integrated Community Registration Outreach Program, where we use our trust. There are task units and campaigns that are run by various provinces. Last week, even from the premier's office, we actually participate in those campaigns. There's a name, specific name, family, and provinces that even the those campaigns. The state, I think, it's called
Operations Sustainable.
Operations Sustainable, and so on. So we participate in those campaigns to ensure that PAPA is also visible in terms of assuring beneficiaries that are not covered due to the benefits. Overall, we managed to have 42,000 grant beneficiaries who have been captured in the system, and our 3.8 million were also affected with this aspect. This is just relating to the ICO, otherwise, it's not like the entire issue of beneficiaries for the end. There were also other services that we rendered during those campaigns, for instance, inquiry, issues, life education, payment, network changes. So, all the necessary services that the official wants, they actually get assisted during that. We did have problems with the conditions of our trust, especially the ICT, which is what we call dangerous, the big dish that we only see on top of the trust. So, that kind of technology was not working throughout the year. We have now resolved the issues of that technology. We are ready to roll out the IT system. Because what it has at least, you are able to link online with the mainframe in Pretoria so that when you process an application, you are actually processing online in real time rather than taking it manually and going and reprocessing the original office. I'll try and move quicker on this particular one, relating to organizational capacity. I think the issue here that we are grappling with, which is when it comes to access to proper services, as I indicated, I think the range of the matter, this report shows that we are doing something that there is still a lot of work that needs to be done in improving access to our local offices as well as state ones, especially when it comes to infrastructure. We have a situation where our offices are small in some instances. People don't even have adequate sitting space or arrangement, and even the basic services that need to be there still need to be attended. Now, PAPA is the last thing that we all know that is operating on the deficit and on the overdraft, and without additional allocation from treasury, there is always that this can be achieved. Now, we are pleased to say, if you look at the annual report, especially on the financial side, there has been almost a reduction of that deficit by almost close to half. And what then happened, we have been looking at the figures only recently, for this current financial year, we have a projection of wiping out that deficit by the end of this particular financial year. Now, what Treasury has said to us is that you will be allocated this money, we won't allow you to take it back. The savings that you are actually generating, you will utilize it now to roll out improvements, both in terms of infrastructure and also as pay for. We also made certain investments in the development and acquisition of systems and infrastructure. Some of these is the most critical areas where we started looking at the intervention for the purpose for ensuring that we have better conditions at our offices. There are offices that are at a state that is very much unaffected with the state. In fact, some of them, they do not use occupational health and safety standards. We have identified those offices. We also identify the pay policies in our care system that are not meeting our standards, where people are still paid under very, very bad conditions. But these are the initiatives that are in our plan going forward from this current financial year going forward. As we turn around FAFSA, and FAFSA is dealing with the issues of its deficits, and we can then utilize this savings in terms of rolling out that infrastructure. Continuing with the improved organizational capacity, we've also focused on the fraud management. Now, this is the work we do in partnership with the FIU. These initiatives have resulted in a saving of about 103.9 billion since we started the intervention with the FIU. We have 3,454 fraud cases that we investigated, which represented 116% achievement on our target for the year under review. We also had around 32,600 fraudulent grants that were removed from the system in the financial year. We also conducted 223 inspections and 1,260 grant applications were completed. 3,700 social grant fraud cases were brought before the court, and 3.4 were finalized and 3.3 convictions were achieved. Now, lastly, 8,300 have been signed abundantly of debt, where we actually collect the money that we owe to pay, and we collected about 1.2 million. I think what is important to emphasize here is that we have had this initiative with the FIU. We have sat down with them and we have taken stock of where we are with this. What the lessons we are learning from this intervention is that the intervention is reactive in nature, because we basically kick up people in the system who have cheated the system, whether it's people who are public servants who are working, who come and collect social grants, or the fraudsters that hack the system and so forth, or even communities where people are poor and they come and say they have children, yet this is not their children, like in the same case with a situation, something called Mbombo, the phenomenon that is new, which is really indicating how people can divide some clever ways of getting to survive. Now, we have looked into this, and we also find that some of these people are also too poor to be able to pay back this money. We might be putting all efforts to collect this money. We spend 1 rand to collect 10 cents. So we are taking stock of the situation, and we say SASA's niche or SASA's primary priority must be to prevent fraud from happening in the first place. Now, we are going to focus our intervention on fraud, on prevention now, rather than corrective measures. Now, there's a range of issues we're going to deal with intervention, looking back on the application processes, looking at systems processes, looking at identification processes, where we're going to be focusing on, for instance, biometric identification, where people that we register in our system will be taking their electronic information and compare them with the population data or the home address database. Now, again, I have the head of fraud management here, who will add a lot of detail in terms of getting to the real issue of what is the plan to deal with this kind of challenge. Now, on the financial management, I think I've spoken to this on financial management. And obviously, the most important thing here is that FAFSA in the capital and therefore the KFA may require the report in terms of generally recognized accounting effects of purchase price. Now, this will require Christians to be in line with that. You can't report on grants using that. That's basically the issue. So Treasury gave us for the first 3 years an exemption to say you will operate on VAR until such time that you are ready to move to grant. Now we had a long debate with the Accountant General in this area. I was very clear from the department side at the time that certainly there's more time to set up these properties because they are quite significant challenges in moving to a core accounting system. But Treasury's views was always saying that at some point you need to just introduce it and deal with the challenges later on as they crop up. Which is what happened in 2009 and financial year. So SASA now is operating on an accrual basis of accounting, however, at a significant price. And then the biggest price that SASA paid was the disclaimer from the Auditor General. Then we also have developed a corporate compliance and integrity model and 91 inspections were conducted in 9 regions. And then in terms of this integrity model, 734 grants and official files were verified, and about 3,900 grant investigations were completed. We also implemented our normal cost internal recovery plan. I think the more emphasis here is the fact that our focus is now on compliance and integrity. This focus was our grant beneficiaries as well as on our staff. Some of our staff members have been arrested and they have been charged. Accordingly, some have already been fired for cheating. The common problem that crops us is the fictitious beneficiary that they create from the system. Again, it puts emphasis on us having to ensure that the system have to be overhauled. Because if it is easy to create a beneficiary in the system, then it will always be a problem for us because our officials will pollute with officials in other departments as well as communities together. But the systems must be able to have the necessary controls to protect this from happening, or at least to pick it up or detect it as soon as possible. I will just summarize the budget expenditure of social transfer, and then the second part I will head over to the senior board. In the annual report, I think colleagues can assist me. There are tables that show provincial breakdown on the numbers as well as the expenditure on social grants. But safe to say that the expenditure for 9-10 in total and also social application. We highlighted the saving of 1 million. That is the last social assistance. SSRC and social assistance formed one program, social assistance program. So that 1 million that I indicated earlier on is basically two reasons for it. One is the lack of capacity in some of the regions to go out there, especially in terms of the high cost programs that are taken, because we need to invest a lot of money to ensure that we reach those beneficiaries. But secondly, the other effect is the combination that last is due to the EU. So both of those have contributed to the money. If you say saving the time, it might be understanding because of capacity constraints. Actually, that expenditure amounted to 165 million. Now, the initial allocation of SRD was about 135, and then we had 62 million all over. This is just to explain that. And then we covered a total of 13,921. This is now for social assistance. 13.9 million beneficiaries, that is now for social assistance. So the next slide also shows the breakdown of the number, the budget against expenditure. I will look at the total, which is 80.2 million. project, and then we spend 79 of the 9 points to be the whole for the 18.4 million that are the 9 points, which gives that 1.1 million savings. The second slide just shows the original budget, that has the adjusted budget, which is purely to look at what the adjustment is. Now, what was added, you see in the third column, there is 52 million for FRB, and we also just did some shift between housing and new home to ensure that we cover the beneficiaries that are in need of supporting housing. There is a significant number of poor people who are migrating from other provinces to housing. And the number of overall number of beneficiaries are rising at a very fast rate. And soon I think they are going to have paper. I think the process of having to take paper has been called for as well. So the four forward presentation has always been very higher, but counting is actually the question that we've been posting. That says a lot of things in terms of planning carefully, because it means we used to know how to take the richest problem in terms of equitable share allocation of debt level. We used to target how to, I mean, I wrote for our provinces, but there is going to be a paradigm shift in the planning side to look at the services that will be needed by how to. A range of services from education, health, and social services with regard to this kind of migration trend. This slide also just gives a breakdown of the budget expenditure each grant type. As I indicated, I'm not sure about the page, the number, the breakdown in terms of the number that goes to the data is titled page 4. Okay, I think then what the CFO is presenting is, and then refer the members to the relevant page on the grant numbers. The text is on page 24, where it gives a breakdown of numbers of problems. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether we break it or allow CFO to finish off on the expenditure side.
Thank you, Chairperson, Committee Minister. The CEO has alluded to most of the issues, so I want to pick some of them. In terms of the slide, which says the SASA income expenditure for the year under review, we'll see that we have actually the bottom line. We have a deficit of 490 million that we have given in the year under review. Comparing that to the last previous year, we had about 879 million deficit. That's exactly what the CEO was saying, that we tried to up the over expenditure that was being experienced in the previous year. And if you look at what we are projecting both for the year that we are just in, our indications are showing clearly that we might be positive, but that time we'll be positive with the 426 more. Now, this is as a result of putting what we call in the last report, because at the end of it, last year, the overspending from 89 quarters during 2008 and 9 years. 2019, which is about intervention, which is going to be cash stabilization. Now, there are four pillars of our cash stabilization or turnaround, which affect the situation that we put in place. The other issue, the issue of migration of beneficiaries of the firm and other electronic payments. And the other issue was about the amount of time we cover from government accounts for the people who transfer money into their bank account and don't withdraw the money from the bank account.
Coming from government departments who didn't have to have an accounting as a
you are welcome to come and work in supply chain, because in government it is not a financial problem. But now, with Afro-Fabricate, anyone who works in the at least must have an account. Must know what is success and how you start and all that going through right away. So that is one of the challenges. So I would say the supply chain is too difficult to us to fix it so that we can actually be improved. Treatment of employees, with our full accounting skills, banks such as cash and banking, inventory, assets, and financial reporting is key to us to be able to achieve our goals. Change management initiative as a whole. Now, this is a change as a whole. Just to give an example so that people can appreciate it. If, like today, we come and fly to Cape Town, like we flew today, that means when we go back to Pretoria, somebody has to sign a receipt that shows that he was in Cape Town on this particular day, and the expenditure of that particular today, which is the 15th, cannot be reported in March or April. It must be reported in this month that we are in. Now, remember, in cash accounting, it doesn't work that way. What happens is that you come today to Cape Town. When you go and fly back, you fly back, the service provider might not give you the invoice. Because you only have the invoice only comes in March or only comes in April. When it comes in April, you only recognize that expenditure in April, even though the event is done now. That's a total change that had to be happening within the whole of government. So again, not only the finance people, but the whole change management across everybody's scale of mindset, we cannot operate if we're still operating on that. Because that only recognizes invoices when you pay, unless expenses as you pay. But now, even when I'm here, whether the supplier is giving the invoice, I have to show that I actually spend that money. So those are the challenges that we see tomorrow. Specific focus training on both financial system accrual based accounting principles for PAP and AG. That's what we focus on. As I said already, AG has been trained, as well as some of our staff has already been trained on the system. Change management, Oracle allows Oracle South Africa and the system owners to do a host implementation. We wanted to say Oracle must come and see, did we implement the system well? So that if we have not implemented the system well, we can come back and say, service provider whom we are seeking us to implement, there is a problem. Why did we have this problem? Why did you follow the same processes that the owner of the system would like? So that's why it's still something that Oracle has promised us to do for us. We're still fighting with, we agree that we'll do it for free, but as we speak to them now, they always keep on coming back and saying, we'll have to do it for some cash. Submission of progress report on a monthly basis. That's what we said we're going to do in the short term, and that's what is happening. Review and amend the policies and procedures. That's what we have been doing as we speak now. Structures have been established to monitor the implementation of policies and procedures. We have already implemented that. Customized system reports have been developed to enhance reporting. However, several more developments are still required. There are a lot of reports, all reports that we used from. Now we are changing reports to be reporting in a different way. We have now established also the change control board that has been established to facilitate the efficient system development in terms of the objectives of the agency and the finance. What we still believe that even if the short term, what we are doing in the short term, might not necessarily take us out of the area that we are in. We say that the long term plan that we need to have, one of them is the completion of the current process of engineering. Now, as I said, we need to change. The way we're functioning for the cash requires us to function differently. That means even the posts that we have and the levels and the other important requirements, they are going to be different. So we are hoping that the field process of engineering, which is supposed to be done for the whole of SASA, will actually be of good necessity for us, because we cannot be operating with the same thing. I mean, like, as I said, supply chain management, normally in private sector, it's all about purchasing management, not supply chain management. So there are a lot of change management issues, and how we're going to have to put our own team to be able to actually deliver what is required in the new system. So by using the old structure, the old
traditional culture to the new
way of doing things. That is the biggest challenge.
From starvation of the finance branch, we believe that most of the government officials don't register, they don't see a need of registering with professional bodies like CICA or CIFA, like IMFA. And we believe that to get our guys to be at the highest level at all times, to be changing, to be knowledgeable about any change that happens, they have to be professionalized. So it means, that means that after you graduate, when you leave your studies, after graduating, you come back and you just work without ensuring that you stay yourself. I mean, like doctor, you know that doctors they are professionalized. We expect that when you go to a doctor, when you get it from the doctor, that doctor will know the latest disease that is there, and you know the latest how to cure that disease. Now, how do you sit without making sure that you professionalize yourself? And that is one of the key issues that we have looked at, that we need to ensure that we professionalize the whole finance branch to ensure that they actually deliver, or we deliver as we suppose. Implementation of the field audit across the agency. Continuous training and change management, intervention, and this continuous thing comfort. We were saying actually, do we have to still recruit people from government? Or should we recruit people from private sector? Because recruiting a person from government, you might have all the qualifications, and even for the professional person, you are not the first time that they did because of the experience and exposure that has happened to them. So that is also one of the challenges that we have. Rotation of the finance, branch personnel, trying to multi-skill our own finance people to move on different, roles so that they can actually ensure that they are well met with one executive that needs to be done. Liaising with auditing firms, professional bodies such as IMFA, CICA, FIFA as part of the training intervention, that many new graduates, as they come in, we make them to be linked with this professional firms to get the learning properly so that they can actually be able to change it. After building the undergraduate and postgraduate leadership program, and the last one is the implementation of retention strategy and succession strategy. IMFA is the Institute of Capital Finance and Politics. CICA is the Institute of Chartered of Accountants. CIFA is the Institute of Professional Accountants. Normally, if you look at CIFA, it would be for those people who got degrees and diplomas, but who don't want to move on and then become chartered accountants, but they become professional accountants. And CIFA is mainly, as we know, all our chartered accountants. But it's not only that, it's for CIMA and other qualifications as well. Now, in terms of the progress, I won't go to the CEO's in time. I won't go in detail. We have managed on the issues that have been raised in the report, annual report. I could say that most of them were managed, with the exception of the accounts receivable. The accounts receivable, which is the next one, that's the one that is still having challenges, which we've been now trying to finalize, which we believe that before the financial year ends, we'll be ready with that one. I won't go into the other stuff. The assets, we are okay with our assets now. Inventory, we had challenges with inventory from the system point of view, as we are communicating certain transactions, which now has been now resolved, and now we are finalizing the solution for that. The current data, the AGs has started an interim audit, and they are going to be focusing especially on the audit findings of 9 and 10, and the information has been requested in the current year. Now the AG also, they realize that they cannot request the way they request the information. They now agree with us that the best way to request the information is go through the fund manager, not the general manager, as they examine it. The consultation process has been implemented and in process of being developed and enhanced. Skills resources and people staff remain a challenge. We say that we do require some skills and numbers, which I'm not going to get into that. But what we say ongoing, we say leadership, skills transfer, and compliance management, we believe that we have to do the regional visit. Already we have done the regional visit. We have been going in myself, going to the region, trying to capacitate people. Appointment of the service provider to assist on accrual accounting has been done. saying maybe we should actually centralize all the financial functions that were done at the center in place at the regional level, so that you increase control and reporting, you consolidate the required skills because of the skills are not going to be available in all areas, and the financial implication in terms of subsidization and implementation will be taken into account and ensure that the staff does not get affected. The year loan will still be finalized and implementing it, and the appointment of the critical finance staff will also already started advertising, trying to fill the post. Development of the support and support will be something that will be currently taken on. And I'll give to my friend to conclude the presentation.
Reporting of skills and coming to you, to me, and all I'm listening to is that that they will want to continue the way that they were doing from government. And then my question was, you allowed them, or my assumption was to say you allowed them to do as they wished instead of doing like what Sata is expecting. So it then goes to the whole question of saying the induction part of it from the orientation, if they come to your agency, is there any problem in terms of induction and staff development before agency could really pick up their things? When I look into the your report, you talk about some of the programs not being implemented because of understaffing. And when I look into your report, the employee costs have escalated to 1.44 billion in the year under review. And now, what I will ask is the question of how much percent that translates to the total of the staff running. Because when you look at the salaries and you allege that you have been understaffing, some of the key programs could not be implemented. So, yeah, that's what I'm asking. How much percent are you having on the employees? You also are talking about the change control board that has been established. I'm not sure what is the nature, but when I look, see the board, there's a chairperson, some of managing, because I don't know the nature, then one will say, how does this board relate to your organogram and accountability? Do you pay these people? And then what is the nature of the people? It might be taking on the service delivery fund. The other one is on the, you talk of the two interventions. You have appointed the service provider to assist the crew at financial management. But 25, you have also talked about another service provider to help about something. And my okay, you're saying, yeah. So what I'm asking is to say these service providers, they come with their own systems, with their paperwork to you, that's my understanding, and then we have one or two people who are still transferred. Your intervention in appointing these two service providers, how far will they be helping us in improving all these things that the AG is doing? So that as they go, do you have any time to say in terms of they will be with you until this, when they are capacitating the staff that you are having? And then, lastly, the question of, let me talk about the going back to the staff that you have recruited from government, say that you used to cash what, and instead of actual whatever, which is needed by the PSA. So my question would be, in the AG's report, the AG is picking up of he didn't satisfy himself of absence of this document and that document. So my question would be, how? So what is the basis of when were they recording? I'm had you talked about from 2006, but even if it's 2006, starting from 2006 or 2009 or whatever, there must be something because the new system or the automation is that new. So what makes the employees
there's the next year. Now that can be a good problem. And you know, I can understand that newborns are late and things like that. But if we, our researchers do some nice research for us as well, and I mean, if we look at the issues at the end, I could just see one, that if this loss sounds like a small amount, but it is because of interest rate to amounting to 1.93 million. Now, nature of the expenditure, the amount from them, disciplinary action, these are things that we want to know. I mean, you know, I can understand that people are late with reports, and that another thing that is not acceptable to me is that the big department doctors are still running manually. I mean, it's not that low. It's not that between the 1980s. We've been here for a while. It is unacceptable that a professional department, I mean, now open is our system as well. It was no computer or something. That to me is just very unfortunate to hear things like this on a national basis. So I would just like to know from the department, are we going to see this again next year? Because it's not acceptable. And man, we must, Madam Chair, we must really look at this. That when committee sits in front of us, or the department sits in front of this committee, it will be crisis for even around the country. We must see to it that when next year comes and we get the report, that we are getting we can't just expect every year that next year will be better. It must be a viable difference. When we sit here committee, we can actually say to the department, well done. We are happy to see what we see now. But I mean, we still got 2 years left here, Madam Chair. I must be quite honest. I really don't believe that things are going to change so much that we will be able to say that next year.
Why I say we need to have one shot and advocacy on
they are doing a fast job in the national to lap the grant for lapsing of to reduce the delay on the lapsing of grant. Are you doing the same when you reissue the grant, or is it only when you are doing the lapsing thing? I'm not happy about the way the things are going on our local. I think Musaka needs to go down from the national office and go down to the regional offices and to our local. Every year when the year starts in my office, my constituency will make a claim towards the Lesotho border. Every year I call upon all the departments to come and present their program for the area. It's so unfortunate. The most wanted and the most needed service is always not there. Also, social development also, they are also not always not there. Okay. I will call Mr. Yawa and ask him if I can go to the meeting. And the person will say that on the day of the meeting. You see, it's not on. Our people that are getting that at the end.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Time is very pressing now. Let me just concentrate on a few questions. The first one is around the old age pension for men. The target was set on 100% on the 31st of March 2010. Now only 77.4% old age men are actually receiving this income on the 31st of March last year, and 66.4% of the 100% CSG for the 31st March 2010. Now I'm actually interested in what is actually the plan and the program from SAPAPI to address this in the current financial year. And when will it what time for that financial year? The other one I'm very interested in is the IGAP. The region not reached. When will actually address that situation, and also in connection with the MIS and also SOCTA, that information can be part of that. The other one is the I model. Is my understanding correct? Is that an integrity model or something else? Can you just explain what that is? The other one is actually around the capacity constraints in SAPA. Now on page 20, my honorable colleague next to me also was speaking about the staff constraints, especially the auditor general was saying that there's a lot of critical posts, especially on page 24, and now you are actually now trying already appointing an accounting firm to address that situation. Now, what will the influence be on the budget of SAPA? That is what I actually can SAPA just explain to us, the situation around that. Will it also influence on the appointment of new staff members in SAPA? What that situation is. Then the last one, Honorable Chairperson, the dispute mechanisms not implemented in three regions. What regions and how will SAPA address that situation? Thank you very much.
I'm not going to repeat the question. I agree with Honorable Nani. When we go down there, things are so difficult. My question was based on the last question. funny enough, when we check the IDs, the date is the same, the year is the same, even the month is the same. I tried to communicate with the Department of Social Improvement. The answer that I got is that this is not even in process, it's been in the recording. As I'm speaking now, the case was indisputable. The another thing that happened when I realized in that event, because you know, clearly it's all our land is being made, because the rate is the rule and business. When people come to the individual to come to collect their ID, they hire the car from the farm to go to that building. When they arrive there, the person department is not there. When I try to communicate with the department, they tell me that it's a problem of transport. I think it's very important if these people will improve their communication. Because really our people doesn't have even have the money just to try from the farm, go to the rural area where they are there, that is not there. The other issue, the issue of when we make the application of your ID. When you got your ID, sometimes your salary is changed, or the date is changed, or maybe the age is changed. When we try to change this thing, it's taking a long time. As I'm speaking now, my mother was born in 1937. But the ID of my mother was 1938. And I try by all means to try to assist my mother to the Department of SASA to collect this thing. But as I'm speaking now, the SASA didn't assist us. Please, can now my question is straightforward for the rep from the city. As we said that we are coming from the province. Now again, when I meet the people, the same problem is happening. Some of them, most of them, is that one who applying for disability plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Most of the questions are the clubs. The question of scratching has been said all again. But I do want clarity on it because I do not want to go out of the assumption that you have employed or post either in your department. I want us to so go out of this meeting understanding that you do have human resources that are employed to do the job. So what I want to check from the department is that, because from their report I see that you have done in thorough staff audit. I want to check what percentage in your staff do you think needs the skills. So that if you've got a clue of how many in terms of percentage, what level in the department, it would then cite the seriousness of the capacity in the department. I want to go out of this meeting a clear understanding that we cannot go up here with confused and ambiguous thinking that we do not have staff at all. And in addition to that question, and Chair, is there this movement of people from the department coming to us? As they come, are they being transferred to SASA? Is it SASA? That SASA, as these people are coming to you from government, as you have said, to you and some they're not you. Aren't you subjecting them to screening processes so that they at least meet the requirement of the institution? That's what I wanted to check on. And before I go out and say, you will start the cashier, the mother, the mother, the mother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, I think when the CFO came with the intervention program, it is time to answer to all the things that we had. But I must say that in answering, we've been when I see speaking, we do have things on tape that are very good. It's not the first time that we meet. But we always encounter problems as to the operation itself. You know, I was touched when I read somewhere where you said the significant growth of grass has a negative impact. Then I asked myself, if it has a negative impact, what is the plan? Did SASA plan for this and plan on how to monitor and evaluate their progress? That is what comes to mind. Well, many things have been said. And firstly, talk of lack of human resource capacity, lack of infrastructure. What I can say is that let's fill the gap. And fill the gap with the people who are qualified. I think the question I wanted to ask was the transparency. Did you just get people that have been transferred? And if you realize, you know, as a leader of the tech, and realizing that the tech that I am leading is not skilled enough or well capacitated, immediately we must come with a plan. And that is capacitation of this. Because you have got capacity constraints the way you explain it, from care to acquire. How could you allow yourself to be in such a situation that you have got to deal with a staff that is not capacitated or doesn't have the skill for that? The second thing that I would say is that let's implement the policies better and have financial management, because we cannot sit here and approve the budget and have your, what we call this, strategic plan and approve of your strategic plan, and then you come later and say people don't report correctly. People don't report correctly because they don't know what to report. Because somewhere there's a gap. So let's not just shift the blame. Let us, as the leader of this institution, make sure that we do our job. The regions must report to you at national level. And I don't know whether the regions are the provinces. I think those are the provinces. Let them do their job. Let there be measures that are taken. People should, I think my colleague here talked about appraisal. Do you appraise these people? Do you have a performance management system that is in place? We don't want to talk about these things anymore, because really we came up with a very good intervention program there. The other thing is reporting correctly is very important. If there is no format for reporting, let's start with that now. Now, we are saying it is important for SASA to continue to expand and provide quality savings. Because it is important. You don't just expand and not provide quality savings. Now, I think you came up with improved organizational capacity. And we like that. But as you talk about that, I think issues that have been raised about accessibility to the services is very important. I come from a very rural area. I visit the pay point. I see what is happening there. The infrastructure itself is not good in those areas. We have got the disabled and we have got the elderly persons. Those people need you to take care of them. In your good organizational capacity that you are planning, whatever you want people to accept, make sure you think of the old and the disabled. That is very important to me. Because in rural areas, those people spend most of their money that they get from those pay points. Those grants that they get to pay for transport, to take them, to access the facilities themselves. And there are those people who are cheating them at those facilities. They cheat them because they will say, because you are sick, we want to help you to
to be in the front of the row, and they pay a certain amount. I think you know about those things. Please assist that in rural areas. When you come up with this plan, make sure it takes priority. Because in urban areas, most of their children can drive them to the banks and to the work. If this thing of quote banks becoming banks can maybe become a reality, that will also assist us. Without taking much time, please, the AG's report is a disclaimer. We can say whatever we say, but the disclaimer is a qualified report. Let us improve on that. As my colleague said, since 2006 we have been hearing this, and that we don't want. Let us have people who can do. You can talk about cash to accrue to us. We don't understand this thing, but you know what is best. You know what is best on that. Please let us delay in reconciling our accounts. Let us do that, Tanya, please. And then there was this thing about the files that were submitting information, was not submitting the information that was required. How do you do that? How do they pass from the leader of the state to go and be audited without them realizing something is wrong here? Thank you, Chairman.
No, the department is basically, yeah, process is Like the question. I think the presentation that you gave highlighted that there are very much critical challenges. We acknowledge that. What I appreciate is that the committee is pretty much aware that FAFA is chasing moving targets, and also FAFA is a good early stage of, not too early, but a good stage of this formation. And the real transition challenges or transitional issues that we're dealing with. However, National FAFA has done some kind of strides. There has been quite a number of failures in the West, which we acknowledge. That is why we say 5 years after the establishment, we need to now take a step back and say, what has worked, what has not worked. When I joined FAFA, I actually was also one of the main critics of things that are not going well and so on. But the beauty about it is that there has been a clear diagnosis or prognosis of the project. Once you have a grip on what is not working, what are the challenges, it's easy to put together a corrective measure. Now, at a strategic level, somebody asked, I think one of the members asked a very critical question. How was the planning at the beginning? Because we were pretty much aware that this business is growing. Obviously, once the numbers are collected, there's going to be a ripple effect on the number of things, issues of systems, issues of people. This is an area where we can comfortably say, yes, we have been failing. Because that failure was not purely because people were just sitting and not thinking about these things. But the pressure of getting this animal up and running and working was, people were overwhelmed by ensuring that it worked. But I think the critical question has to be asked, now, what would be the vision? If the vision looks at a different mode of payment in the future, we're looking at the rapid growth or exponential growth in numbers, how will all these affect faster? Now, we've taken stock of this. The plans that we're putting in the table, especially the element that's mentioned, which is the 10-year model, it actually captures that. But also, we're going broader than that. We say, when we locate and position FAFA in the context of the comprehensive social security system for South Africa, FAFA is actually currently administering social assistance. We are engaging the department, we are busy to say, how will then FAFA play that role? Will it administer other social security benefits? Will it focus on the payment administration? These are the debates that are going on. I will have room now quickly on the three areas. One, the issues of leadership, which also was raised by the other. On engaging the AG, there are two main issues that came up in their concern, which we agree to be firstly, the issue of reporting, monitoring and reporting. FAFA has a very effective system of monitoring because we have governance structures that are in place, which include your MANICO, which is a committee involving head office and all the regions, which is like a high threat, it's the highest decision making body after ESCO. There is also ESCO. But what EG says is that given the problems you had in your financial system, the reports that you were reading throughout the year did not cover comprehensively the future of the financial position and the financial and the results of performance of the agents. Now that is why the AG now says the issues of leadership, or what they call public reform, could not therefore have been at an acceptable level. The other issue which is also usually picked up when we talk about capacity, about that kind of thing, is the issue of supervision and monitoring. We do not have a very strong MME unit in FAFA, especially to ensure services and development of FAFA are monitored on a regular basis. We are building our sponsorship, we fully have a high priority that we need to build a very strong MME unit. Coupled to that, on grant administration, we have identified in the implementation of IGF that we need additional post and supervision level, but we have got excessive post and capturing level or application level, your level 5. So we need more capacity up to level 12 so that we can actually also implement the new requirement of internal reconfiguration mechanism in terms of the links to the question on staffing. It came up from many of the members. Did we appoint the right people to the right place? Do they know what they do? Now, what the airport was talking about, surely firing staff, which were appointed at the time Papa was operating on the question. Now, what happened, the dilemma Papa had at the time, on looking at the situation now, you have a system that is run on government-based systems, on a cash-based of accounting. You've got people who are well knowledgeable of that system, which then when you appoint those people. But what I think should have happened is to say, what would be the need in 3 or 4 years' time, where we are now, because we are moving now to a completely different system. You should have a plan to develop that capacity parallel to what we are doing. Unfortunately, this is what people are talking about. Papa now is confronted with the reality that we are now in the new paradise, but we still have that. Now, there are 2 options. One is to retrain those people, and that is what the effort that they've been trying to do today. We're picking up that some of those people are adopting, unfortunately, because some do not even have the financial qualification. Now, one of the things we need to do is to say, how do we move on from this? Now, we are putting, therefore, for 2-pronged approach to retrain those who can retrain and also to recruit from the market those people who can do that. The other area that was of strategic nature also is the question that you asked about what is the plan going forward? Are we expecting similar results? And how are we going to deal with this with hearing all the challenges? I think the disclaimer actually overshadows everything. If you have a closer look at this report, the financial report, you're picking a lot of interesting trends. One, therefore, what I mentioned that there has been significant reduction in the deficit. And we did that over the last year through vigorous renegotiation of the payment contract. First year, we targeted 379 million. Last year, we targeted 326 million. And that actually we realized going forward, implementing the new payment model is going to realize more savings for us. If you look at the EME, you will notice that in this new financial year that's coming, we have budgeted about 2.4 billion, but a year later, it goes down to about 1.6 to 1.7 billion. And that is intentional and conscious because we are saying these interventions are going to realize significant savings, which we think is to offer. We should not be paying almost approximately 1.2 billion, and now half of that we already recovered, and we are going to recover more. Then, in terms of the new report, we're not expecting a disclaimer at all. We're not expecting a disclaimer at all, like the balances and other things. Why those balances were there? The problem is from 2006 up to 2009, when you actually put the restatement of data, there was a lot of transactions in China, which the Auditor General could not verify. And then they say, and we accept that the SASA was not going to, if SASA was given time, SASA could have fixed those recommendations. However, unfortunately, the PNMA has deadline by a certain period of the Auditor General within 2 months of finished auditing. So they don't have the time now to audit 4 years in one. That was the problem because the transactions are a lot of transactions for 4 years in one. So the AG then said, look, fix this thing so that when it comes next year, you do have a totally different situation. Now there are 2 options there to do. Correct the balances as a discarded financial year, and also clean up the opening balances. Because what we have a disclaimer on the opening balance, on the previous year, the opening balances are affected. So our plan is to set this year so that if we get a qualification, it will be in the opening balance. But if we still have time, because we're using the same capacity, then we will fix the opening balance and send that list to the same one. So we do have a strategy of how we're going to see answers. Now, on the specific issues, I think my colleagues will assist, especially from Grand Administration and CFO. There were quite a number of very specific issues that but I think in closing that if you look at page 91 on that issue of financial performance, I mean, we've managed to contain a few regular expenses. million to 2.5 million. And this year we want, ultimately we don't have any regular expenditure. Unfortunately the way we operate the supply chain, there will be some few cuts here and there. But 59 million, when you start every 7 months, is not accessible, you can't go for that. So these things are overshadowed when you look at the final report, which my chair of the committee likes to say is more accounting genius rather than financial management. You can have same financial management control, but accounting reporting is the one that caused us in terms of the movement from cash flow to one, which really overshadows that. I will then run quickly these other ones. Yes, then that used to be the issue of escalation of employee costs. I think this issue of staffing is critical. After when it was established, there was a certain norm that was used to determine the whole structure of what we have. We believe that this norm is unrealistic for us, especially for South Africa. We're looking at the annual report now showing a staff complement of about 18,000. Now we're working on that because half of those folks are unfunded and we're going to do away with work. In any case, almost 3 years ago, Cabinet said all departments must go away with unfunded folks because it does not show the correct reflection of the paper. So we will only now change funded unfunded folks to show that critical folks in that area are actually filled as a matter of action, in line in any way with the recent Cabinet decision. Now, the issue of the board, I think the CFO will address. It's not really a board, it's more an internal committee. But I think the terminology, I also think this thing of financial misconduct board or business and board, asset control board, it creates that impression that it is a real board. Yeah, maybe we will have to think about how we refer to this. The issue of service provider, yes, again, critically, we want a transfer of skills. In that period, we're working with Treasury and the Accounting General Office to ensure that we actually get the relevant skills. Because we don't want when the consultant to leave a vacuum. But unfortunately, there are no other alternatives. The interim measure would be to have that capacity in place because currently the state board is struggling with the kind of capacity we need. We have asked HR as well to look at a matching and what is it? Placing and matching. Now we look at what skills these people have, where appropriately we can place them. We have seen a shortage of skills under grant administration, right? Especially civil engineering. We have seen a shortage in the registry. That is why finding and other things was not accepted. So we want to move and redeploy those people who must move out of finance to those areas, and then we can get the right skills and capacity in the economy. Now, that also leads to the issue of missing documents. There is a report we gave yesterday to the committee. There is progress, very progress in relation to missing documents, especially the files that were not found by the AG from the one region to another. The bulk of the problem was thousands and thousands of files were actually sitting in other regions at the time of the audit. Now, most of the regions have completed moving those files to the regions because it all needs to be migration of beneficiaries. But I remember from Kauteng, a man said, I can't put my name on the blog for the issue of cross-border flows. I was just highlighting it because that decision is the FSC and Treasury to deal with here. The Financial Assistance Commission will deal with that with Treasury and find a solution to the issue of the cross-border flows and how they are to treat them in the formulas. Well, I think some of the issues of staff are monitoring of the region. This is not only head of this monitoring region in terms of the progress report and performance. By the way, there is a performance management system in South Africa as well. There was a question around it. I think this is where even the issue of bonuses, where some official management reserve bonuses is implemented. However, what we are saying, our monitoring for us, besides monitoring just on it, is really at the supervision level, as well as monitoring services. But we are taking a process decision now that our strategy must focus people at Coldplay, they don't know that you are putting nice things in high gear and stuff. What they hear and what they feel is how they get the service from the world. So we have now realized that that is where we need also to invest. Simple things like having sitting arrangements, chairs, the queue management systems, the booking systems, etc. So that we alleviate congestion. Even on the electronic payment, somebody asked, issue of staggering of payment is on the card, we are finalizing that. Critically, now we are talking to that communication with the card is the major problem. Not only because of the method we use for communication and the language, but some of the way rural people, especially the villages, guard the communication is different. They don't rely on SABC channels and CTV and all that. There are ways, indigenous ways of communication. When you go to individuals and all those things, we are looking at piggybacking on those processes so that our communication is more effective, but mostly our connection with our beneficiary is a take point. And we want to ensure that we make it as effective as possible to actually work with the people in the time. Which also links to the issue of those people share your race to young people who use to volunteer and too much out and all that. I think it's about people can increase in such a way. So that is, I think, fraud, I would ask her to quickly go through that so that she can be quick. I think most of the key critical strategy questions I've tried to answer, I've already heard about people to be careful. We find that with backlogs, some offices are old, windy houses where electricity, cables, and other things. It's actually some positions are condemned by the Department of Labor. It affects staff, it also affects politicians. Now, DFD and ourselves are working on an integrated, comprehensive infrastructure strategy. What we are saying, basically, which is something which is the UNED, a great principle we are applying with, is that at the corporate level, people don't know that this is social development, this is bad, but it seems to some extent this is home affairs, the government services. We want to continue the concept of shared services at local level, even if it's treated regional and head office. And then we begin to have economies of scale in terms of sharing the space and also sharing some of the facilities. It has worked well in some regions, in some areas it has not necessarily worked well, but we are trying to take it as practices, where can we go and say, what are the key issues? In fact, we have sent a guideline which was accepted by the head of social development, where we actually said, this is how we should manage the shared services. But however, going forward, we want to invest more money that we save now, that we begin to improve our financial management. That says we want to invest also, and among other things, pain points, infrastructure as well as office infrastructure that is your service point in your local office. It's going to be essentially in our strategy plan that we will take in Parliament March. I think that was it.
Thank you, Chair. Just for a member of the committee to just run saying yes, change control board is two ways of explaining. It's not a board. It is the committee that I chair to make sure the changes that are happening in the city, we approve them. So that everything is recorded. So because we've got people are giving us support, like if we get government partners in the city to assist them to do any changes. Because we are now looking on our own system, we've created this board between ourselves and the people who are managing our government. So that is the point. We don't pay anything to our people, it's all of us. I mean, the CEO is a cash shop in the service provider, it's only one service provider that we can have at the time frame to 12 months. So the service provider will work with us now until the end of the year. So it's only for 12 months as we employ our people. I think the two is covered by our school education. The other issue is 202 folks. Yes, we are going to begin the folks. As I say, we can't plan the papers too much now because we also want to make sure that when people apply for state law before they actually get called in for interviews. The impacts of the budget in terms of the moving pool and the consultant, what is happening there. What we are saying is that yes, the new students that are coming through, that we budgeted for them, we budgeted for the consultant. That's why the consultant is only for 12 months. And it's important that the consultants are paid to one body. So I'm going to depend and rely on consultants going forward. So we should be able to do. So we should do to 2011-12 without being able to go on our own and be able to serve financial statements on our own. The presentation of the personnel that needs this skilling, the CEO, I think he answered by saying that some of the people will move them, but again, all HR processes, issues that we kind of say, if you now move from this place, go there, there's to be a proper process for those people to move. But majority of the ones that are many, they've been already, most of them, they've already been trained. Are we subjecting people to screening? As I said, those people were the ones that were employed when suffering was established. They were relevant, their skills were relevant to the systems that were there. And I think the CEO has sort of alluded to the fact that we should have planned properly to say, now we know that going to this future requires this type of skill. What do we do? I think that's where we need to. Even though we did try to do some training, but I think that's where we need to pay. I think from all the questions, I think we take note of all the comments that have been made to this session and all the comments. With all the comments that have been made, we are definitely going to be implementing all those. I think from my side, I will stop here.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll be responding to the question around foster care. I have noted that more than one region of provincial representatives has raised a concern. With regard to foster care, there are three main role players. It's a social worker from Department of Social Development, it's Department of Shelter through the Children's Court. SAFTA is at the end. We rely solely on those documents. If there's no court order, a money court order for a foster care grant, SAFTA is unable to pay a foster care grant.
Oh.
However, when it comes to renewal, we issued letters notifying people about the expire of their court order 90 days in advance. Those people are expected to go back to social development, social workers to do an assessment of the context around the child, and it must go to a court of law. However, we're mindful of the fact that the problem is not with the beneficiary. The problem is with the shortage of social workers and also backlogs in terms of matters in front of our court. As SAFTA, we do notify them about our intention to review. However, we have made a temporary arrangement not to suspend those grants because the fault is not in the children, the fault is a part of the county. Hence, we are not suspending anymore. We have gone further to we take a legal opinion in that regard to ensure that whatever we do, we are covered by the law. Coming to the challenge around negative planning, one remember raised the question that purpose planning is over. There is negative planning around war veterans. War veterans are payable to senior citizens who were involved in the Second World War and also Korean Wars. Therefore, the number keeps on coming down because some of them are old and they die on a regular basis. We also take into account historical trends, hence we budget on a negative basis in that regard. Coming to disability grants, different disability grants mainly, if you look at our report, numbers are coming down. The reason being that when SASSA was established over the sanction from the very challenging provinces were not reviewing expired disability grants. When SASSA took over, we're eliminating all those expired disability grants, hence the numbers are coming down. And also, if you look at the statistics of death South Africa, the number of disabled people is almost the same as the number of disabled people in our system, without taking into account means and other considerations that are taken into account for people to be eligible. Therefore, our numbers are correct as reflected, because we are performing what is expected of us on a regular basis. Coming to child support grant and old age grant and the amendments, the report says we have underperformed. Here really is that indeed we have not achieved the 100%. But we must also be mindful of the fact that those targets are estimates. Therefore, we are not expected to be 100% correct in terms of achievement in that regard. At the same time, we acknowledge the fact that when those amendments were made, SASSA was never given administration budget to be able to reach to all those areas. However, what we are doing currently, we are deploying mobile trucks in all the most affected areas to ensure that all those who are eligible do get their benefits. At the same time, we are engaging with the civil society to ensure that they assist us in terms of mobilizing and marketing those amendments. We are also improving our communication to ensure that we have images with our people, especially in the different areas. Moving further, the chairperson was out of your time. There was a question raised around the condition of our people. I would like to inform the committee that we are working with the local government in the program. What the reality is that on our own, there's no way we can overcome the challenge. What we have done, we have entered into MOU with local municipalities for them to allow us to utilize controls. We are also engaging with the senior leaders in the country to ensure that those tribal authorities are being also utilized as payphone facilities. We are also engaging churches and civil society at large, so that where there are facilities, we get a utilization of those facilities. At the same time, we are looking at the question of us bringing tents during the payout period and also sheds to ensure that when people are free, they are paid 100% and human conditions. Moving further, there is a challenge around overcrowding at the end during the payout period. We have developed a strategy of staggered payments. We are saying that senior citizens should be the first to pay. So therefore, we are putting 2 days aside for senior citizens to pay at the bank. We are saying on the first day, all those who are born between January and June will be the only ones who will be allowed to access their money. On the second day, those born between July and December, in terms of all age grants, one of the parents will be the only one allowed. On the third day and fourth day, we'll be focusing on disability grants. And after those days, we'll only open the system to all the recipients of social grants. However, there is a lot of consultation that we need to undertake. We have met with the banking council. We have shared our ideas with them. In principle, they are supporting our ideas. It's a question of accessing their systems communicate effectively with the beneficiaries themselves. We need to communicate with the communities and any other interested workers involved in the demilitarization plan. Lastly, Chairperson, with regard to overcrowding at our service court, we have noted the challenge. Hence, we have introduced what is called a crew management at our offices and also a booking system. It means when you come to our office, whilst you are queuing, there must be a person who moves around the queue trying to check if all your documents are available to you and also inquire why are you in our offices, and so that you can be appropriately assessed for the person who can assist you. Because they have noted that people will sit there for hours, only to be told at 4 o'clock that you will be assisted the following day. And we're also saying we must target pregnant women, we must target disabled people, we must also target elderly people so they can give themselves a chance when they come to our offices. We have started to roll out that project, starting with the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and other regions. Therefore, when people come to our offices, they must expect that if we cannot assist them on that particular day, we'll give them an appointment. When you give them an appointment, we'll give them the time. Because if your appointment is at 2, there's no point to come in 8 o'clock. Therefore, people will be given an appointment, and people will be referred to the appropriate people who will be assisting them. Those are the measures that we're putting in place. It's going to take time, and we need support even from the honorable members around the team to assist us in terms of the new application. Thank you.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Just one. The fraud management is, I guess, something to do with the when are you really allocating other
issues? I know. Mm-hmm. Take a second. I want to add to some of the solutions to get our financial better than entitled to but it's not intended to be in our financial. We should have postponed for now until all the other processes are clear. The other one around your idea for your improvement processes. This year we'll finish the first stage, so in the next financial year we'll then roll it out in all other
regions.
Thank you.
will outline time frames on the short term and long term.